and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hey there! No, welcome to the Wanderlust Wonder segment of the See the World with Ajala Nene. And this is where we spotlight tourist destinations in Africa and way beyond. And our spotlight today is Ikogosi Warm Spring Resort. Hey, swimmers, this destination is for you all. Located in Ikogosi in Ekiti State, Nigeria, Ikogosi Warm Spring Resort is a beautiful tourist destination. Have you ever seen two flowing streams, one hot and the other cold? That is what makes Ikogosi a special destination. And when these streams come together, it forms a beautiful warm spring. Did you know that the spring is also a healing balm? The water is believed to provide some healing to the body, from body aches and illness, and to your soul. Oh, wow. So if you need a serene place to dive in and get healing, Ikogosi Warm Spring is your destination. Our next guest is waiting on the other side. Join us now. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to this episode. And I'll be introducing one of my little brothers, though he's tall, bigger than me. But I'll introduce him as that. And he's someone I admire in the tourism space. I've seen him do things that I'm like, okay, this dude is actually making some sense in this industry. That's why he's here. If not, you'll not be sitting down with me right here, Shane.
I'm blushing.
You're blushing well. So we have Sewedo. That's it, well. Because the way you're doing do re mi, because every time you're correcting people to pronounce
you're close,
it,
you're close.
Anyway, I've tried. Yeah. Sewedo Balogu, the founder of Sewedo Tours, is a passionate tour guide, tour operator, and sustainable tourism promoter who is very passionate about promoting responsible travel practices for both travelers and destinations. Sewedo, welcome on board.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get into the tea gist. How did you get here? What inspired you to come to the tourism space?
Okay, so I think God created me to be a tourism person.
It's like everybody that's coming to this podcast, God created them. He created me too to be a tourism person.
Mine is different because you could probably say it, you know, from my childhood days.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so I'm an arts person.
Okay.
When I say I'm an arts person, I mean, you know, back in the days in secondary school, and they say, which departments do you want to go to? Do you prefer arts? Do you prefer science?
So,
I'm the kind of person that you don't need to ask me a question where
you
I
really
want.
Know.
Anybody that knows me knows that, you know, this guy's an arts person. Yeah. So I'm a very inquisitive person. I like to learn about the things around me.
Okay.
I like to know about the things around me because I like to speak authoritatively about the things that are dear to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so right from my primary school days, I loved social studies. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very crazy about, you know, not the current affairs now, mm-hmm. the past affairs.
The history.
You know, we used to have current affairs,
yes,
we used to have past affairs.
Affairs.
Yeah, so I was crazy about, as at that time, there was no history.
They called it past affairs.
We call it social studies. We now had different. So we entered GSS. Now there is history.
Mm-hmm. They just had to.
Yeah, so there was history. And I was just fascinated about, in my GSS, we do a lot of Yoruba history.
Okay.
You know, we do like the Oyo Empire.
Mm-hmm.
We do the Igbo society, mm-hmm. you know, they don't really have the empire system.
Yes, no.
In Igbo land, yeah. So, you know, you look at Igbo society, you did the Kanem Bono Empire, Shoko Caliphate, Shokoto Caliphate, and so I just loved all of those things. So I didn't just love them, I kind of envisioned myself in those places.
Imagine your afterlife, was it before life, they call it?
Yeah, so when we entered SS1, you know, it was getting more intense, and, you know, so I loved government now. That's okay. NSS. You know,
yes.
You have shifted.
Yes.
So I loved government. I loved history.
Mm-hmm.
I loved literature.
What about geography?
You know, funnily, I didn't like geography.
Ah,
and maybe
that's
because
strange.
Maybe because
of the calculations.
In my school, as at then, our students were not taking geography.
Why?
I don't know.
That's weird. Just, I was an art student, and to show you how much I loved geography, the same person that taught us economics, which I did not like, I hated economics, calculation is not my thing, taught us geography. Now, the funny thing was that we'll have economics first, then geography next.
So you have to.
Economics, I'm quiet like a dove. I won't say a word. Because I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately we enter geography class, I'm in front. I'm like, I want to know about countries, the latitude, and the latitude. So I'm surprised that.
So someone like me, geography. I was not. So I wanted to offer it, but I was having history clash with it. So naturally, I would have just say if I have a free time, I would probably just join them.
Yeah.
But naturally, it was not my core subject, so I couldn't bother. And I, you know, this latitude and whatever thing, I was not crazy about it. But even a geography student at that time. Cannot face me when it comes to countries.
Oh, can you imagine?
You can face me when it comes to the latitude and the calculations. But when it comes to the countries.
He ain't beating me.
Yeah, so in secondary school, we started reading literature books.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing a lot of African history now. So not, don't forget, as at that time, they were teaching us of the empire. But me, I loved history. So I was, there's this history in there's this library in Badagry,
mm-hmm.
Badagry Library.
Mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
It's a Lagos State Library. So, I always go to the library just to read history. Nice. I have extra classes.
Okay.
That my dad wanted me, you know, to get better in science related subjects.
Mm.
But me, in my history class, I didn't
see
that.
Sorry, Daddy, I'm going to the history. I'm going to the library to read
history. So,
it's
always history, government, literature for me. So, I started delving into African history proper.
Okay.
I think it affected my university days, actually. So,
what did you study in university, by the way?
History and International Studies.
Okay.
In Lagos State, from the prestigious Lagos State University.
Okay, well, you prestigious student.
Yeah. So, I started doing a bit of South African history. That's in secondary school. Don't forget. So, this is why. For my literature class, we were reading books like Sizwe Bansi Is Dead. We were reading books like The Beautiful Ones Are Not Yet Born, so there were poems like The Novel of the Soul, I'll Pronounce Your Name Night, that's by Leopold Sender Sadasengo. So from reading all of these books, like I said, I envision myself in the societies and I want to see what it looks like. So I would just look for where the author is from, then do a bit of history about the place. And I was also, because I know I was in this competition as far back as SS1, I was organized by UNESCO about the Atlantic slave trade. Mm-hmm. And they said we should write a poem or something about it.
Error.
So me, naturally, as I then, I have known a lot about the Atlantic slave trade. I was crazy about it, you know, particularly because we have a slave port in Badagry.
Okay.
Because Badagry had like a major role to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, so I was just crazy about it. And I've read about the migration of slaves, you know, to the New World, those that were taken to the Brazilian side, those that went to UK, all of those things. So it has always been like that for me. So every time I read a literature book or a literature poem and I like it, and I like the author, I look for where they are from. And I was particularly crazy about South African history. As I did, my secondary days,
Why?
Secondary 2 days. Yeah, so there is this thing that fascinates me about Shaka the Zulu, particularly. Yeah, Shaka the Zulu, the Swahili people. So, you know, we had different periods. The time when the people from, they call it the Great Trek, was the time the period from people from Europe started moving in South Africa. Well, we have the white population now. Then we had the time Shaka came in. We had the Bantus. We had the Khoisans, from Stone Age, you know, down to metal. To after Industrial Revolution. So I was just crazy about their nature.
I can see that. They're saying it. They're really crazy about it.
Their nature, the kind of people they are. And
society,
don't forget,
culture.
You know, the Swahili people too, they're not just in South Africa. They're in the Southern African axis. And we also have some of them in East Africa.
Kenya, is that like Kenya?
Yeah, yes, true. So I was just, like, you read about the Maasai's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just, I'm a big fan of African culture and lifestyle. You know, especially the dynamics. So I just loved all of those things. And I started reading about it.
So how did you then go into get into the tourism space?
Yeah, so because of my love for Badagry, like I said, though, everything started from there. In my
university, are you from there?
Yes, I'm from Badagry. I'm a typical Ogu. People call it Egun. I'm a typical Egun boy. Like
Egun,
I'm a proud Ogu boy.
I can tell.
Any day, any time.
No wonder most of your tours is always like you're promoting that side.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I have to. Yeah. So in my secondary school days, I was in socials. I was the social director for my department.
Okay.
And, you know, I was in a committee for my faculty. And also Lasusu. That's like the whole school's social committee.
Okay.
So whenever they want to do anything in school, whenever they want to organize anything in school, I want to take outside. No, it's not that they even call me. That they want to take outside Lasso, outside school premises.
Yes.
Me, they know that me, I always suggest, but I agree. Okay, guess so. It got to a point, I started advising my friends, if you want to do birthday parties, oh, let's go to Badagry. So, like I said, I was into socials. So, I was organizing small parties in school. We have some bikini parties I just organized within my friends. And from time, I take my friends to Badagry, either they like it or not.
You force them to go to Badagry.
And Badagry is beautiful. If you go there, you enjoy it.
Of course,
it.
I've been there. In fact, my final year project, when I was doing my project in tourism, Badagry was one of my case studies. Badagry and Umuarok.
So every time, I just take my friends to Badagry to the beach. Let's just have a nice time.
And they will have a nice time.
Yes, they will have a nice time.
Nice.
So then, I think in my final year,
when was that? What year was that?
That was 2015. The girl I was dating then, I was not like, so I know you organize shows in school and you take people to Badagry a lot. Why not start making money from it?
Nice. God bless that girlfriend. God bless whoever you are.
I said, okay, that can work. So already I was making stipends from it. But because I loved Badagry, I don't charge people to, you know, take them around or anything. Okay. I might probably just make stipends from it. So I felt, okay, this is a very good idea. This is something I can do. So I started the Seredotos brand around that 2015.
Okay.
Do not, in a proper way, so to say.
I just started.
While I was waiting for service, I started doing a lot of Badagry promotion.
Okay.
And started doing small Badagry tours. As at that time, I was a local Badagry guide.
Okay.
So just tour guide.
Just tour guide. Okay.
Like I used to say, I'm like a man of many disciplines within the tourism industry. So I can be a tour guide. I can be a tour operator. I can be a trip planner. And I can be a tourism consultant. Apart from the fact I love to, they are all interwoven though. Apart from the fact that I love to promote, you know, African destinations too. And I said,
so your main is
like, yes, and sustainable.
If I let me ask,
tourism.
And sustainable tourism, how did you now transcend it to the Western one? Because I see a lot of West African tours. What led you to that?
Yeah, so I call myself the West African tour guide.
Hey, see, Pan-African.
Yeah,
Pan-African,
so I call myself the West African tour guide because I believe we are the same people. We are just partitioned by the whites, unfortunately. And that has caused a major rift. In the way we see ourselves, and it is quite unfortunate.
So is your tours one of a way to try and help?
Yes,
solve that?
Even though it is frustrating, traveling by road in West Africa is one of the
most annoying.
Yes,
everybody that I know that has taken
like
a road trip
is one of the most
complained.
Annoying things ever.
So can you mention what the issues are? Like, mention three or four things that are like the main issues just traveling within West Africa.
Yeah, so I think the major issues are the border protocols.
Okay.
So, you know, in West Africa, it's not just a West African thing. Because if you travel by land through, let's say, from South Africa to Lesotho, Mozambique, it's crazier. Yeah, so it's an African problem, actually. It's an African problem. So, we have kind of made the abnormal things normal in terms of bribery and corruption. So it pays for you sometimes to travel in West Africa without documents than travel with documents.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember one of us was talking about whether you should take your passport, your ECOWAS passport, whether you should not take anything at all.
So because if you don't have your documents, you can easily
sneak in.
Not sneak, you just pay.
Just bribe.
Yes, you just pay.
Bribe.
You just bribe.
You can
probably just have your name. So you just, they know you're from Nigeria. So you just pay and you go.
How much is the money? Is it plenty?
It depends on the country.
Okay.
Yeah, so, my brother here, I think we are lenient in Nigeria. People who have not traveled.
Yeah, really?
Money. Yes, we are lenient in Nigeria. We are very lenient.
I thought our own border was very lenient.
So here, I think you just give them 1,000 naira. If you don't have any of your cards, you use the old pass. Just give them 1,000 naira and pass. But if you have your international passport, you know the states you have to go to get another passport.
Are you telling me?
Have your yellow card. If you want to stamp your international passport, they say they classify some passports as virgin passports.
Which one is a virgin passport?
It's that has not passed along that route before.
Oh, as long as you've not passed that round before.
Yeah, it's a virgin passport. Even if you've been in that country, border. Yes.
Through the plane. But as long as you pass through the border, you've never passed through the border, it's a virgin passport.
Yes.
With all the visas you have.
At our time, my brother, they will take 3,000.
Are you serious with
you? To stamp it. Yes, with your passport, to stamp it. At the same at the bin inside, they might take 2,000.
Okay.
Now, you might be stubborn. Right, and say you don't want to pay.
They will deal with you.
They won't necessarily deal with you.
What will happen?
Yeah, they'll just give you plenty of forms to fill and, you know, try to delay you a bit.
I see.
Yeah. But you know, Nigerians, we don't like to waste time. So most of the time, we just prefer to pay and go. And when we are going in a group, it's always more stressful. Yeah, because they've seen a boss, they've assumed you don't collect plenty money. So you come down, you settle customs, you settle DSS, you settle port heads.
Wow. All those people.
Yes, you settle NDLEA. Yeah. And you now pay
is
all
it
those
for each country's border?
That's an Nigerian thing.
Oh.
Yeah. You settle all those people. Maybe they take, there's a way they charge like 500 per person or something.
Mm.
Then you now pay to get the passport stamped.
For everybody.
But if you are coming, so when your passport becomes not a virgin again, then you can pay just 1,000 to get a stamp.
Okay.
In and out. But when you get to Togo border, those ones, if you are passing there for the first time, Benin and Togo, they will take 2,000 CFA from you.
Mm.
But when you are coming back,
Benin
will take 1,000. Togo doesn't take anything again, as long as you have stamped. But now, because they don't take anything, you now have their customs guys that will stay at the phones that want to stress you, except to still give them that 1,000 naira. If you get to Aflao, that's the Aflao border, that's Togo and Benin, Togo and Ghana. That's one of my annoying, that's like one of the annoying places. For a new passport, Togo will take 5,000 so far.
Wow, that much?
Yes. Abene, too, will take it equivalent. For a fresh one, they might say they want a... And that was that money again. They might say they want 100 cedis. Which is more like also... Presently, like 5,000 so far too.
Wow.
It's crazy. I can't keep...
But why do you do it? If it's stressful?
Yeah,
inspires you? What's the passion that's keeping you doing this thing, even with the stress? Because I've heard that this was...
Yeah, so the things that we do to make things easier for our clients is that they won't go through all of that stress. So you just get to the border, they come down, I pick everybody's passports. So I do all the settlements and everything.
Okay.
And I just come and we'll move.
Because you have become a pro, and at least you know some of
them. Yeah, so that makes it a bit, you know, easy. But there are times where I know when I get really angry too. Because we've made the bribery and corruption a normal thing. People now think it's there.
They
need to kind of appreciate those of us who go extra mile to make sure that our clients have every document.
Available.
International passport, yellow card, COVID vaccine, even the ones that are not necessary. And there's this funny one they do in Nigeria presently. In our yellow card, there is a space.
It's a code.
Yeah, you can scan.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your yellow cards... Also, for people who travel a lot, if you go to places like Ivory Coast, they check out for polio.
Mm.
That's the vaccine, if you call it. They check out for yellow fever, and they check out for meningitis. So in most cases, if they don't see meningitis in your yellow card and you're passing through Ivory Coast land border, for instance, you have to collect it.
They will give it to you.
Yes.
You must take the
injection. You must collect.
Injection.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is...
for it.
Yes. But the annoying thing is that there's no meningitis vaccine in Nigeria.
So that means someone like me, if I'm going, they will give it to me because I don't...
Through the land border. But there's no meningitis... And it's an, when you get to say my border here too... When they don't see that thing, they will tell you to pay. And they are aware that we don't have a meningitis vaccine in Nigeria.
So why don't we have it?
I don't. I've asked that question like a million times.
And nobody has answered you.
They don't. They've never given me a definite answer.
So that's how they are not stressing you up and down.
It's terrible.
Because when I started seeing you doing the West tour, I was like, this is interesting, but I'm sure it's very stressful.
It's crazy.
But what are the good sides of it?
So, like me, I don't really get to feel the stress, like I said, because I'm obsessed with West Africa. So I don't get. And sometimes, as long as I am planning something, and people are going to have beautiful experiences, people are going to learn about their neighboring countries, people are going to explore and see others' lifestyle and culture and appreciate it. That gives me joy. It gives me kind of satisfaction. So what we do in some cases is that we mix it up. So by the time you do road to Ghana because of the proximity, by the time you are going into Ivory Coast to fly.
Okay.
From Ivory Coast, you can fly into Senegal also.
Okay.
And because of proximity, you can go by road into Gambia.
Right.
Yeah, because you know the popular Fatala Wildlife Reserve where people walk with lions is just 30 minutes into Gambia.
Not far from it.
And you also get another kind of experience to go by water. By this very big, these are big boats.
Okay.
Yeah, so it kind of gives you a lot of experiences in one package.
Beautiful.
You understand? Sometimes it can be very stressful. So what we try to do is we try to prepare the minds
of our clients,
of the tourists,
before you guys start going.
These are things. So most of the time, I like to underpromise,
so that it's at least when they not get a good experience, you know that you're giving the best.
Because our borders are not predictable. And by the time you want to show yourself. By the time you want to show yourself that you know you're right, you know, you start speaking grammars, they know how to stress you.
And keep you waiting.
Especially in places like Senegal and Ivory Coast. You know, just tell you that they can't speak English. So. They can't speak English. Just shout all the shouts you want to shout.
They're looking at you like
I was at the Senegal border at some point with clients. And I said I was not going to pay that money. That day I was just very angry. They take 5,000 sefa per person. And we have all our documents. And I said, okay, let me bring you to 2K sefa. Because at that time, because of our stupid money now.
Our money is not stupid. It's coming back. It's coming back. But I understand.
Well, let's hope so. So, as at that time, 1,000 naira. Don't forget, I thought that there was a time that these people were welcoming. And when 1,000 naira can give you 5,000 sefa.
So that they can.
But now, 1,000 naira is 400 sefa.
Just come down.
No, you won't know because you didn't spend it. So this, maybe let me give you a literal translation. Before, when you take 1,000 naira into Benin, when I was in secondary school, for instance, I can get sneakers.
Okay.
Of like 5K over there.
Okay.
But now, when you take a 1,000 naira into Benin, you can't buy table water.
Wow.
Yes. That's how bad it is. You can't buy table water.
Wow.
So if you now want to even drink that table water in hotels, that water is 2,000 sefa in most hotels. And presently, that's about 5,000 naira. Yes. So I was just angry that and say, this money, I'm not giving you 4,000 sefa. It has gotten worse now, actually. It's 350 now. And the guy said, you should deport us.
Yeah.
Despite having all of those things. And I said, this place, I'm not living here. And nobody's deporting anybody. It does not even make sense that you want to deport me from Senegal to Senegal. Except you want to deport me back to Nigeria. So it's not really a Nigerian problem. It's a West African problem. When they say Nigerians are very...
I know this is a very difficult question to ask, but do you think this is the way this can be solved?
Sincerely, I know that there is nothing impossible, but I don't think it's something that can be solved anytime soon. because we've taken it as a norm. By the time you start complaining to them, they will tell you that when we go into Nigeria today, they do the same thing to us. So
that
it's a norm.
Even we Africans are having issues.
Yeah, so it's a normal trends, it's a normal thing in the borders. You just have to go through that stress, except you are willing to just throw money at all the problems. And by the time you're ready to throw money at all the problem persists.
Yeah, forever.
And that's
for
another problem on its own. So people just don't give a fuck. They just want to, you know. Don't mind my language. So they...
Yeah, pardoned.
Yes, thank you. So they just see it as a normal thing. Just they're like, just do it and go. Why are you stressing yourself?
It's a norm.
So why are you disturbing us? You won't tell us that you know you're right? No problem. So sometimes you can claim you're right.
And but by the time you finish, your energy has gone. On your trip, the trip is very far away.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that and go into you. What are the three things that people don't know about you? Three.
three things.
Yes.
I cry a lot.
Aww, he's a crying.
Yeah,
baby.
I'm quite very emotional. That's why I don't like watching movies with people.
Oh no! We'll be crying together because I can cry. If I hold hands, I'll be crying together.
So I'm on the school of thought that when you feel somehow, when you feel bad,
mm-hmm.
when you feel pain,
mm-hmm.
when you feel housebroken,
mm-hmm.
cry.
There's a reason why God gave us tears. Why would you not cry?
If it eases you as at that particular time, you know, I'm not the
it's
hard
not
guy.
That particular time. Tears eases you.
I'm not the hard guy person.
Please thank you, Jerry.
You know, in public, I'm a hard guy. I'm a
yeah,
hard
you
guy.
You know, you men always like to call me like a hard guy.
Yeah, but I'm quite very emotional.
That's
and,
good. It's a good thing. Please don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
What did I ask at this age?
That's how we live longer.
Yeah, so if I feel there's something, just cry and let it go.
You let it go.
Just let it go. So don't hold it to your chest, I beg. So cry and let
Number
it go.
Two.
What other thing that two. People don't know about me?
Yeah.
I'm scared of heights.
Hey, as tall as you are. Guys, this guy is like, what's your height? 6 what?
I'm 6'2".
6'2". As tall as he is, a bit of height. Wow.
Nobody
so
knows.
You that are standing, that you're afraid of your height.
Nobody knows because I have done a lot of daring things.
That means you are not
And I am
chest.
Still scared of height. You know, when I stay anywhere up to like... six stories,
mm-hmm.
even just six stories. What am I even saying? Three stories.
Your head will be
so. My head will not. It's like a battle in my head. So I think the good thing I've been able to do is that I don't show it.
And
but
you
in my head,
overcome it when you're doing things.
I don't even look down. But in my head is a battle, man. Why am I here?
Who sent me message?
But sometimes I just like to dare myself and overcome it. But
that's like
I just think I've created the balance. I'm scared. I'm still scared of
it. You found the way around to your
madness. Yeah, so and because I'm a tour guide, and you know, I have to give people the confidence to do things.
Yeah,
for instance, if you go to conservation center, Lake Conservation Center, that day I cannot pee work.
Yes.
Or if you go to Kakum.
How many times have you done it? Kakum, I've done that thing 3 times.
Okay, if you go to Kakum, I've done that one like 50 times. Yeah, you know the funniest thing? I am so scared. So every time I've done it, I am scared.
Yes.
But I don't show it.
All right, the third thing about you, number three.
What was the third one? I think those who are very close to me knows that.
Okay.
I can be very, very religious.
Very religious.
Or less than spiritual.
Spiritual.
So for those who really know me.
Yeah.
When it comes to anything, biblical discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some of them actually knows. Some of them know that I can pass for a pastor.
Pastors.
Yes. A little bit. You know, in the public perception is that this guy is a bad guy. This guy is a bad guy.
But you're a pastor inside out.
I'm a soft nice. Guy, actually.
That's nice. All right, so what would you, as we wrap this up, what would your message to those of us in the tourism space, both in those who are coming, those who are already inside, those who are growing, and those who are veterans? What advice would you give to us in promoting tourism in Nigeria and Africa?
Can I advise people who are veterans already? Because they're veterans. Okay, but for people who are coming up, I am of the perception that because Nigerian tourism is not effectively structured, when going into tourism, because it's your passion, make sure you have something by the side.
Say that thing again. Because it's what?
Because it is your passion.
Say it again.
Because it is your passion,
yes,
right?
Yes, because people think you just come into the industry.
No, 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 no. For people that know me, okay, I'm doing a trip to Benin and Togo, March ending, you know, for Easter. So I've had other tour operators come up to me and say, Toby, this thing that you are giving these people,
right?
Yes, this thing that you are giving these people, are you sure you are going to them? They know me. They know I would do it. And they are saying that because they are thinking that there won't be any profit again left in this trip if you do it at that rate. But like I said, I'm most satisfied when I create beautiful experiences for people. But at the same time, not before that Christmas.
Yeah, true.
Yeah?
You have to make money.
But I can only do that because I say I have something by the side I do.
Yeah.
And for me...
So you have a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah, I won't call it the 9-to-5 per se year, but I have a 9-to-5. And for me, I have an advantage in the industry because I can either be a tour guide, I can either be a tour operator or consultant. And that means that other travel companies can come to me to help them package their trip and they'll sell it. Others can even package the trip and call me that, oh, I want you to help us tour guide the trip.
So you found a way to be able to...
So I might not package trips and I'm tour guiding trips regularly. Yeah. I do that a lot of times.
Okay.
So I there are brands that I work with that people now think I'm probably a stakeholder. No, I'm just that they are the official tour guides.
Okay.
You understand?
So what's your advice to people that are channeling this route that you're doing now?
Yeah, so you have to be very creative. Yes. You have to think outside the box because... Either you like it or not, there are lots of us in the industry.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's so
but
beautiful.
At the same time, the sky is big enough for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you need to
have your unique selling points.
Yes, and push something that is worth it out there. And that takes creativity. There is a lot of, especially in Nigeria, for instance, there's a lot of things we have not explored. A lot of things.
A lot of gems we have not explored.
You know, because tourism is dynamic.
Mm.
And people think that tourism is just about, you know, traveling to beautiful places, you know, beautiful pictures. I don't see tourism that way. I don't even feel comfortable for luxurious tourism. Luxurious tourism is a part of tourism for some people.
Own, yeah.
They just want
yeah,
to do 5-star hotels, you know, beautiful things.
Luxury people.
I want to I want to go to villages. You know, I want to go to mountains. I want to go to water. I want to chase waterfalls.
Experiential travel.
Yeah, I want to, you know, experience the culture. I want to sleep in their huts.
Yeah.
I want that lifestyle.
Their food.
Yeah, so sometimes I want it a mixture of both luxury and domestic, like core domestic tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm doing personally. So I've discovered that I've gone to a lot of places in Nigeria and West Africa, but there are places within my locality that I've not been to. So I've been doing a lot of going to neighboring communities around me lately. Yeah. So for me, tourism is very wild and it's a very big scope. And I've seen people that do bottle tourism.
And
it sounds odd, yeah. They just go to, they collect ancient bottles.
And do what with them?
They keep it.
Are they going to sell it later?
It's a subset of heritage tourism.
Okay.
So, bottles that are scarce.
That you will not find, they will never make them
yes.
again.
You know those bottles that are great grandfathers.
So that means they plan to make, like, create a museum
with
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay, so it's as a heritage tourism.
Yeah. So, there, tourism is, you know, it's diverse.
So you just find what makes
so there
unique.
Is a lot of things. As long as you can effectively put it out there and make people see that this is what I am doing.
And the values.
When
the
I travel, people think that,
industry.
Where are you going to? Why are you going to these places? You know, personally, I spend a lot of money traveling. Personally, I can just wake up now and say, okay, I've not gone to that place. Let me pack my bags. It gives me joy. I go to some places where there is nothing there. There is nothing. And I think that's also another problem in Nigeria again. We think that some states have more destination than the others. But in some cases, it is beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in some cases. I went to Ipokia for the first time.
Yes, Ipokia.
Ipokia is in Ogun State.
Okay.
So, if you are going by road, it might take you 3 hours to get there from Badagry.
Okay.
But there is a water path I can just cross
and get there.
And get there in 45 minutes.
It's a lie.
Yeah, so
wow.
I decided to use that route recently.
And how was it?
And somebody was like, what are you going to? I say, auntie, that place that I just went to, it kind of gave me this fulfillment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so developed and the road to the place is like core forest, like the ones we used to go with my grandfather back then. We call it, my language, we call it Edekame. So it's this forest where you have a lot of palm trees.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and on the bike, I was just smiling because I was loving the atmosphere. That is just me.
That's it.
You know, I just stopped there. So you can imagine that I traveled for almost 3 hours just to see what the place looks like. And I watched this match. They played the match during the weekend. Match in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I was happy. You know, I missed the people. We shouted together. And I came back to Balagri.
Are you happy?
And it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
For somebody, that's rubbish.
No, that's why I say it's passion. It's what gives you happiness.
Exactly. So there's a lot of places to explore. But the cocoa is that when you are starting, make sure you have something to fall back to.
All right, so I would like to ask you that question. To job there, you have a job, yeah, apart from this, your tourism stuff. How are you balancing both of them?
It has been difficult.
I'm asking because as much as we know that tourism is still a low-hanging fruit on its own, we can make money from it. We know how long, it's more like a long-term business, a marathon business,
yeah,
before you now start seeing the results you're looking for. That's why I wanted you to keep saying that passion part. It's not just anybody that can enter the industry. I think it does make money like
just
that.
Anybody.
So have you been able to have this job and balance it with your tour business?
Okay, so I used to work in a bank before.
Mm.
And it was difficult.
Mm.
It was difficult because I could not do tours during the week. So what I did then was that I only do tours from Saturdays to Sunday.
Okay. Return to
but there are days where I have to work on Friday. I have to talk guide on Fridays. Then I was working in a bank in Badagry, and as at then I was promoting Badagry majorly. But I was able to also decipher something about working in corporate places, especially places that have to do with Target. And I've been lucky enough to have understanding bosses,
okay,
or superiors.
Okay.
So, in a bank then, we have targets, you know. I would have met my targets like mid-month. And I would have probably explained to one of my bosses that, I gotta say, I have this trip I want to do. I might probably not come to work on Friday or so. And they will say, how about a target? I said, I've met a target. I've superseded the target.
So, you make sure you add value. So, there
is
work.
Really no reason to now power for me. And because they are understanding.
Yeah, true.
So it got to a stage, I discovered that I might not be able to sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
And every work I was looking for was at then, I always explained to them
that you have this.
That I have something and I still need to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will make sure that it does not also affect your
job.
So, you know, in most cases, in an official organization, there's contrast of interest,
yeah,
mm-hmm, and they don't accept it.
Yes.
But I've been lucky to see people who understand. Mm-hmm. And when I get into those organizations, I try to make sure that I create a good working environment for my people,
okay,
or people who work under me,
mm-hmm,
in a way that even if I'm not around, work will keep
going.
There's
loyalty.
And luckily for me, I've been able to sustain that,
okay,
because I still have a 9-to-5, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
Though now I have a more flexible role, so okay, I don't have to be in the office all the time.
So your advice is people who are looking for jobs while they also try to build their business, just try to make sure that you're adding value where you are.
Yeah,
just
make sure
you have a good relationship with your bosses, because that's what
helped
me too when I started. My boss was quite understanding. I said, man, I need to go for this event. I need to go for that. Before I now decided to leave 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that. So I do. I would have loved us to continue to talk more, but we need to wrap this up. Any last words for our listeners?
Yeah. I think... for Nigerians particularly, Nigeria is beautiful. Nigeria is dynamic. Nigeria is all-encompassing. In the sense that everything you want to go and look for in Kenya, in Zanzibar, I am not saying you shouldn't go to all those places because I package trips to all those places too. But you can get everything in Nigeria. So as Nigerians, we need to appreciate Nigeria more. We need to explore Nigeria more. We need to say good things about Nigeria. Because most of the bad things about Nigeria, you know, in the social media, everywhere, is our
trending
fault.
Yeah, because of us.
Because when people look from the social media perspective, they think Nigeria is a red zone, Nigeria is dangerous. But the truth is that every peaceful country in the world has a dangerous side.
Yes.
If you go to Brazil and you go to Bahia, even go to Rio, there are some places that they will tell you not to enter. If you go to Colombia, it's the same thing. If you go to some places in the US, in Atlanta, they will tell you don't enter. So, but you won't see them shouting about all of these places everywhere, every time online.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Every country has their red zones that when you get, and that is why it is important to always use tour guides.
Yes.
Local and tour guides who understands the terrain and will put you through on the things to do and the things not to do. But I think we need to say better things about Nigeria, and we need to encourage people outside to visit Nigeria more. But particularly, we as Nigerians, we need to explore Nigeria more. I wanted to say the north, because the north is beautiful. Yeah, the north is beautiful. And in as much as we know that there are some places that are not safe in the north, there are also places that are safe. The cocoa is that we need to reach out to people there first and let them enlighten us. But by the time we are scared, or by the time we just put that fear in us, it becomes a problem.
And we miss out the beauty of
yes, and we just spend times five of what we could have probably gotten in Nigeria. We want to travel out, and so it is very important for us to. And Nigerian tourism is an industry that is going to make more money for us than petrol.
Say that again.
Nigerian tourism is an industry that will make more money for us than crude oil.
Say it one more time. I know.
Nigerian tourism will make more money for us than crude oil.
Tourism is our oil that will never run dry.
Because
we
have numerous destinations.
Yes.
Man, you can't count it.
Not just destinations.
They discover places every day.
Food, everything.
Every day. Cuisine tourism, heritage tourism, social tourism, historical tourism. Everything is in Nigeria. By the time we announce all of these things, I mean, we are sitting on a gold mine.
Gold mine.
Yes, because see what Dubai is doing, see what SA is doing, see what Kenya is doing.
And they don't have half of what we have.
Yes.
Thank you, Seredo. Thank you for
the government
that.
Also needs to do more.
Yeah.
And that's why I always appreciate our tour guides, our tour operators, our travel agencies, hospitality companies in Nigeria. Because despite the fact that the Nigerian government is not really, I think we have a minister of tourism now.
Mm-hmm.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian government is not really doing a lot in terms of tourism. We have private companies doing a whole lot to project Nigeria out there, to package interesting trips so that people will come to Nigeria and see it. And you can see, TripAdvisor just named Lagos as one of the places to see in Africa. And that is because some of us, people like you, people out there,
are you?
Yeah, are trying their possible best
to promote,
to project Nigeria. You know, in the rightful manner. And I think we just need to do better.
Thank you, Soweto. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you guys for listening. Till our next episode. See you then.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.